Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Longtime soccer journalist and CBS sports contributor Grant Wall has died, collapsing while covering the Argentina-Netherlands World Cup match in Doha. He's heard here after the U.S. lost to the Netherlands.
You do wish the U.S. had given themselves a bit more of a chance to have more goal-scoring chances in this tournament.
On Monday, Wall wrote that he felt extreme pressure and discomfort in his chest and went to a hospital. He was feeling somewhat better after that. A person familiar with the situation says Wall is believed to have had a heart attack in the press box. Grant Wall was 49. With Brittany Griner now back in the U.S., attention turns again to Paul Whelan, the Marine veteran who's been held in Russia since 2018. Here's CBS's Weijia Jiang.
A U.S. official tells CBS News that over the summer, Moscow proposed trading Whelan for a Russian assassin who is serving a life sentence in Germany, convicted of murder. The U.S. had no power to release the prisoner, and Berlin refused. Whelan's sister Elizabeth says President Biden called her, vowing not to leave him behind.
I don't look for apologies. I look for action.
Some Democrats are upset with Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema leaving the party and going independent. Sinema says, in all practicality, nothing really changes. The White House appears to be okay with that.
The move to declare her independence is a signal to Arizona voters before her term is up in 2024. But Democrats say Kyrsten Sinema will keep her committee assignments as part of the 51-member Senate majority.
Look, we understand her decision.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says Sinema has been a key partner of the administration, helping to pass major legislation.
We have every reason to expect that we will continue to work with her successfully.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
The Biden administration says Iran and Russia are strengthening ties to provide weapons to each other. Iran gets air defense systems, helicopters, and fighter jets. Russia gets the drones they're using to attack Ukraine's energy grids. CBS News correspondent Pamela Falk says the war has been expensive for Russia.
As Russia's military resources are being taxed by the Ukraine war and sanctions, Western powers are providing military equipment to Ukraine to defend itself, upping the cost to Putin, reminiscent of the draining of resources during the Star Wars competition between the U.S. and former Soviet Union as Russia is seeing its military coffers depleted.
The former Minneapolis police officer who held George Floyd's back to the ground while a colleague kneeled on his neck has been sentenced to 3.5 years in prison. He's already behind bars for violating Floyd's civil rights. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible end-of-the-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right, start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40-by-60-foot building or a 50-by-100 clear span building at end-of-the-year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL. For Steel.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, December 12th. In Wood County, the Public Safety Committee will meet at 9 a.m. in the courthouse. The Joint Legislative Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the Central Wisconsin Airport in Mosinee. The Citizens Groundwater Group will meet at 2 p.m. at the River Block Building, and the North Central Community Action Program Incorporated Executive Board of Directors will meet at 6 p.m. by teleconference. The Stevens Point Joint Review Board will meet at 3 p.m. in the City Conference Room. The Transportation Commission meeting will take place at 4:45 at Central Transportation. The Portage County Personnel Committee will meet at 6 p.m. The Public Policy and General Government meeting will happen at 6 p.m., followed by the Finance Committee Agenda meeting at 6:10, and the Board of Public Works meeting at 6:35 p.m. In Adams County, the Property and Recreation Committee will meet from 2 to 4 p.m., and the Health and Human Services meeting will take place from 4 to 5:30 p.m. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for snow overnight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 29, winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely again tomorrow, highs level off around 35, cloudy skies expected. Chance for snow tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 28, overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
What did I miss? Virginia, my home, sweet home. I want to give you a kiss. I've been in Paris meeting lights at every night.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry on this Friday lunch hour, 12:06, December 9th. And we have a holiday party tomorrow, so we are getting ready for the weekend. We're headed to Madison.
Yes.
Hopefully the roads are a little better by the time we hit them.
Yeah, it is still snowing out here in Waukesha, so if you're on the roads, please be careful.
Doesn't look quite as...
It's lightened up a little bit.
The clarity looks a little bit better than when I was driving in this morning, but very good timing. Husband Michael Sampson was smart enough to literally yesterday put a... snow scraper in my car.
Well done.
Pretty happy because we do not have a covered garage here, so I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of snow on the car when we leave today. Jane, you can borrow mine if you don't have one.
I have one.
Oh, great. Of course you do.
And because I am old, I already flipped up my wipers.
You know, I will tell this story, and then we're going to get to some more headlines for today that caught my eye. But we now have a garage. But last year at our apartment, before we got our house... we had a parking spot, but not a covered garage.
Right.
And one of those days, I can't remember if it was December or January, but it was one of the nights that it was so cold that not only was my windshield frozen, and luckily I was smart enough not to pour hot water on my windshield.
Just saw a video about that.
So don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
But what I did have to do was because the seal of my car, my driver's side car was
frozen
shut. So I couldn't even open the door. So I did pour boiling water on that because I needed to get to work. And I was like, how do I get into my car? Because it's one thing once you're in the car, you can turn on the heat, you just have to be patient and wait.
Right.
But I couldn't even get in my car.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'm very happy to have a garage. That's one of my things I'm grateful for this year.
You in this climate, yeah, if you don't have one, it's truly a pain in the neck.
You give yourself more time. Because you never know what you're waking up
exactly.
to as far as your automobile.
Well, and there's so much water content in this stuff. This is really that wet, slushy, snowy stuff. So if it goes really cold, really fast, it's going to get really icy.
Fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
Wisconsin.
All right. Well, I misspoke. Yesterday, we talked about how there are four Republicans who are running for the Wisconsin Senate seat that has been announced that the special election will be happening. But as of Wednesday, there actually is a Democrat. The first Democrat has entered the race. And you may recognize the last name if you watch local television at all. Habish, Habish, David and Routier.
It's that Habish.
It's that Habish. It's her. So a Democratic candidate has entered for the Wisconsin's open 8th Senate seat. She joined Wednesday. Jody Habish Sinkin. It's S-I-N-Y-K-I-N. So I need
that
to
sounds
double
right.
Sinkin. She's an attorney from Whitefish Bay. She's lived most of her life in what is the 8th Senate district. And she announced her candidacy for the WOW district. That was on Wednesday. And so I'm... And it's for to replace... retiring Senator Alberta Darling, who's been in that seat since 92.
Forever.
Yeah. And so her quote was, "It would be a privilege to represent the people of the 8th Senate District in the Wisconsin State Senate. As someone who has lived and worked in the district for most of my life, I am committed to creating opportunities that foster a strong sense of community and that ensure open dialogue between residents and myself. I will be a senator who listens and learns from the constituents in the 8th District." So we got someone.
Well, good for her. And I applaud anybody who steps up at this point.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Because who wants to open yourself up to the attack ads and the, you know, oppo research? And so I really give it all the candidates a lot of credit.
Absolutely. And so it seems like at least in there will be the primary. There will be a Republican primary because there are four different Republicans running for this seat. As of right now, she is the only Democrat running for the seat. So ostensibly, there would be no primary, and then it would just be in for the April election. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins the Republican primary for this seat versus Jody Habish-Sinkin. And it'll be interesting to see, because if she, you know, Habish and Retear, you know, is, I feel like I know that jingle as much as I know the one call that's all jingle. And so I'm assuming that there's potential financial resources behind her and potentially her candidacy. But I guess we'll see. But it could be interesting as far as potentially being a flippable seat, as that part of the state has
changed.
Been a little bit more blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday, Respect for Marriage Act passed in the House. And I think the only thing to say about this is the fact that unlike Ron Johnson, who voted against it in the Senate, Wisconsin Republican lawmakers Mike Gallagher and Brian Stile voted for it. A win's a win.
I know. I guess.
I'm not going to dissect their reasoning or whatever, because, you know, look at Ron Johnson, who decided to vote against it. But they didn't have to, but they did. And so so that was now headed to Biden's desk. But again, this is a moot law.
Yes.
This law, while it is historic and it is a step, a reminder that as we are right now, Obergefell provides more protection for same-sex marriage, and Loving protects more protection for interracial marriage than if either of those were to be overturned by the Supreme Court. The fallback of what this Safety Net Respect for Marriage Act does is actually less rights than people have right now. Because right now, you are allowed to get married to someone of the same sex in every single state. And if that were to get overturned, it would go back to the states to allow net new marriages, but it would have to honor
existing
marriages. And if you got married, so I did my video for Journal Sentinel this week on the topic, trying to explain this. And I used the example, which is a hypothetical, but this whole bill is in case of a hypothetical. It grants no new rights.
Right.
And which is in the, you know, I don't think it's out of this world to think that if these cases were to be overturned, Wisconsin might be one of the states that does not allow same-sex marriage, and Illinois would be. So if you were someone who went to Illinois to get married but then moved to Wisconsin, Wisconsin would still have to respect your marriage and the legality of it, but would not have to let you get married after it fell unless they passed, the state legislature, as we just talked with Jim Sintel and the power that they have, passed a law similarly, like we're waiting for them to update the 1849 abortion criminal ban.
Oh,
they'll ever get to that.
There's all kinds of time to fix that, Kristen. What's the rush?
But speaking of that, you know, I think this is a win for Senator Baldwin.
Oh, absolutely.
She really led the charge on this.
Yep.
I don't know if her next project is going to be as successful. So she's now proposing a federal travel fund for women seeking abortions. She introduced this yesterday, and it seeks to establish a four-year, $350 million annual government grant program that would help support women in Wisconsin and other women across this country to travel long distances to get an abortion. I have a feeling that's not going to have as much bipartisan support.
That will never pass.
No.
Never.
No, I don't think so either.
No.
I mean, maybe not never, at least not
in, well, not in that
not
form.
In the, not in this atmosphere.
Yeah, well, and certainly not in the form that she has proposed.
No.
No.
I agree.
It's ambitious and well-intentioned, but no.
But don't hold your breath.
No.
And then some health news. Jane, how old do you feel?
It depends on the day.
Okay.
So some days I feel like I'm in my 30s.
Yeah.
And then some days I feel my age, which is 62.
Okay.
But it really depends on the day.
Because I don't feel 36. I understand that I am. And then it's like there's a great meme that goes, I feel like I'm in my 20s until I hang out with people in their 20s. And I realize, oh, no, I'm definitely in my 30s. and I'm sure every age in conversation is like, oh, you think about the whole world. How? Huh? What? But there is a recent study that found feeling younger than your age is linked with a longer lifespan.
Oh.
So age is in the eye of the beholder. But yeah, research lead Dr. Suzanne Worm says that it's likely because this mindset motivates you to try new things and stay physically and mentally engaged, while feeling older can mean that you're overstressed. So the TLDR, too long, don't read, of that, or the advice to take away of that is think of yourself as younger.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, try new things.
Meet
challenge
new,
your brain.
Try and make new friends, make new connections, learn new things.
Like you.
Yeah, absolutely. This, since I started with you in July, I have learned so much, and it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's nice to know that I'm not just a juvenile delinquent who's never grown up, because I often feel younger than I am.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I feel like, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a flip flop, because I think there's something about when you're young wanting to be older. Oh, I'm an old soul.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very mature for my age.
Because it implies wisdom.
Yeah. And then I don't know what that cutoff becomes where your age doesn't reflect how you feel. Like, at what age do you actually feel like your age? And I'm sure it's different for everyone, but maybe your 20s, is that the prime time to feel like you're not trying to get any older, but you actually feel the age that you are?
That's probably accurate.
Because I feel like by the time you're in your 30s, you're like, I do not have this together at all. I'm not adulting the way my parents were adulting when they were. And that's absolutely true for me.
But I do want to reassure you that with age does not necessarily come wisdom. Because I know lots of old, stupid people. In fact, I can look at our state legislature and probably think of a few.
Fair. All right. Well, we're going to take another break, but we have some more headlines, some more fun headlines. Women's volleyball. There is two sisters from Milwaukee who are going to be on SNL this weekend. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then I will let you know the very fun show I saw last night and give them a little love, because I highly recommend going to see it. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us.
He grabs my arm and I respond. What's going on? Thomas, we are engaged in a battle for our nation's very soul. Can you get us out of the mess we're in? Hamilton's new financial plan is nothing less than government control. I've been fighting for the South alone. Where have you been, France?
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tease at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Tomorrow night, cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Some more headlines to round out the first half of the lunch hour. It is 12:21. Croatia won. Croatia beat Brazil in the World Cup.
That seems unexpected.
I think that was unexpected, but Croatia was the underdog. I mean, they're the ones who were they came in second last time. So they are a tiny country. But obviously has some good athletes. So,
powerful feats.
So that is some sports news. Some other sports news. Badger women's volleyball keep rolling on. They beat Penn State, which is very exciting. So I think it was a hard-fought match or multiple matches. So Penn State, I mean, this is like, I think when it comes to volleyball, one of our big rivalries as far as always being two of the best teams. But then Marquette has fallen to University of Texas Longhorns. All have to put our good juju behind the women's Badger
the Lady Badgers
team.
You bet.
Which is easy for me to do.
And I'm really
more of a Badger fan.
I'm really happy they beat Penn State because I think they're snobs.
You think Penn State is snobs?
I think it's a snootier school than Madison.
Oh, that's interesting.
I do.
I always think of Well, I guess Ohio State is also a public school, and people make their entire personality. I went to Ohio State. The Ohio State. And so maybe. I feel like I know less people who went to Penn State that I have that association with them.
I could just be picking this out of the sky.
Sure. Okay. but then this week, do you watch SNL very regularly?
I usually see it the next day.
Yeah, I see. These days, I feel like I see the clips that go viral,
right,
which sketches were really fun. But this weekend, December 10th, Saturday Night Live, Sista Strings, Sista Strings, it will be playing. It's two sisters who are a cellist and a violinist, I think, Monique and Shantae Ross. They are playing backup for Brandi Carlile.
Cool.
As this week's musical guest. And so they're from Milwaukee's North Side, and they first debuted as Sista Strings in 2014 with Shantae playing violin and Monique playing cello. And they released their first EP called Lift in 2019. And then in 2021, they left Milwaukee and they're now in Nashville. But they're making their big debut. Well, I guess it sounds like they were on Jimmy Kimmel and Ellen, and they've been on there. It's not their TV debut,
but
it
still
is their SNL debut.
That's huge.
So there's some Wisconsin in the wild for you.
Oh, that's really exciting.
Yeah. And they
look good for them.
You know, I feel like whenever there's the disruption of what you typically see, whether it's ballet or orchestral instruments of like the stuffiness and the, you know, the stereotypical vision of what you think of when you think of some of these performing arts.
As a little more uptight.
Yes. To see these two young black women with their braids and like bright colors that they're wearing and the pictures of them play these like classical instruments. I just always love that visual.
Well, and I am so impressed by anyone who can play a stringed instrument.
I'm impressed by people who can play instruments, period.
Well, that too. But,
or sing.
But violin, cello, you know, even stand-up bass, I just find that remarkable.
The cello is one of my favorite instruments, like pants down.
I just heard someone say that the cello is the closest thing to a human voice.
Oh. Interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah. But speaking of musical talent and singing, so we had Dateline last night.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
surprised. Mike was trying to surprise me. And so we went out, we got a drink, went out to dinner. He goes, we have to be done with dinner by 7:30. I was like, are we seeing a show? And he was trying to keep the surprise as long as, no, we're not seeing a show. Like, are you lying?
Well, we have to be done wrapping up.
Are you lying? And he goes, no. I was like, well, how far are we walking from here? Because we were in the third ward in downtown Milwaukee. It was like 4 or 5 blocks. And then I started to figure it out that our friend, Sean Holmes, shout out to Sean Holmes, I had said that I wanted to see the show that he is in at Skylight Music Theater in the Third Ward called A Jolly Holiday, celebrating Disney's Broadway hits.
Oh.
And so it was my first time in that theater.
It's a really nice
it's
theater.
It's a really nice theater. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed.
Yeah.
With the intimacy of it, but also, I mean, the set that they put on, and I've not been in the Black Box Theater next to it, where the Milwaukee Chamber Theater that is more plays than less music. So I'm going to see a show there next. But I have to say, first of all, the five main people, and now I was going to look up how to pronounce his name to make sure I didn't screw it up. But you know, Ben Timian. He's the guy who sings the national anthem for the Bucks. Really big guy, and he's
oh,
like,
I know who you mean.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Now it's his last name. I was going to look this up, and it's the one thing I forgot to do. But he, because the guy who had been in the show got injured, and so he kind of last minute is now in the show. But it was so fun because I think he's kind of rose to Milwaukee fame as being the good luck charm for the Bucks when he sings the national anthem, and he can. Really sick.
Yes, he can.
So he was in the show. Our friend Sean was in the show. There's two other women that I didn't recognize, but I mean, and everyone, the five main characters, and then since it's Skylight, they also have a younger cast of like middle school, high school kids who are part of the chorus. And, you know, the premise, like the plot of the show, not strong.
Little loosey-goosey.
But it's basically just a montage of all of the Disney songs that have been on Broadway. And they just go show by show. So they go Beauty and the Beast. They do The Lion King. They do Mary Poppins. Oh. They do Frozen. They do, it's like, and it's, they did, Ben sang out there from The Hunchback of Notre Dame and he killed it. And it was one of those things where you see people who can sing that well, sing these songs that you know as a Broadway fan, as a Disney fan. And I was just grinning ear to ear. The entire show. And so if you are in the Milwaukee area, if you like Disney, if your kids like Disney, if you like Broadway, the show runs until December 31st. And so I highly recommend checking it out. It is so much fun. The singing is so good. And yeah, so good job, Michael Sampson. It was a good surprise. All right. When we come back, more Supreme Court talk, except the Wisconsin Supreme Court, not the United States Supreme Court. Matthew Rothschild will be here to talk about some of the history of how we got to where we are. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM. From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And
defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
After I came home from Iraq, I could still hear the booms. Makes it hard to be a good mom.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
DAV helps veterans get the benefits they've earned.
Thanks to DAV, I was able to begin to heal.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Mid-State Technical College in Wisconsin Rapids will return to indoor graduation ceremonies, hosting their mid-year commencement ceremony on Saturday, December 10th. Mid-State will highlight their protective and human services program at the ceremony with the keynote address from Rick Anderson, Mid-State's 2022 Distinguished Alumnus and Associate Dean of Protective and Human Services. In-person attendance is reserved for ticket holders. The ceremony will be live-streamed on mstc.edu/graduation starting at 1:30 p.m. on Saturday. The Roadway Inn and Suites in Stevens Point has experienced a setback in their renovation plans due to flooding from burst pipes. City officials say a window was left open, which allowed the pipes to freeze. The hotel has experienced issues over the past few years and are working on fixing the problems identified. Even with this delay, the city is confident the hotel will be up and running again in 2023. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for snow overnight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 29, winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely again tomorrow, highs level off around 35, cloudy skies expected. Chance for snow tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 28, overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
And join the conversation, 844-967-2789. So we have already started talking about this Wisconsin Supreme Court race. We're going to continue talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. But I would like to find more interesting ways to talk about it, because just reminding you every day of how important it is probably gets a little old. So I thought it might be interesting to get some background on how we got here and how this nonpartisan race for a position that is supposed to be very objective has become so partisan in Wisconsin. And so here to talk us through is someone who knows a thing or two about the influence of money on our democracy. Matt Rothschild is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and author of 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Matthew Rothschild.
Thanks, Chris, for having me on. Really appreciate it.
So this is the first time he's on many other civic media shows, and so I'm sure you probably have heard him before on Dueling Tangents or Devil's Advocates, but first time on my show. So welcome. We're so happy to have you here.
Well, it's a thrill, and you're doing a great job. And I love the expansion of civic media. Really important for democracy in Wisconsin to have a diverse media, especially on talk radio.
Absolutely. We very much agree, and we're very happy to be here. And so I guess... So I'm relatively new back to Wisconsin. I grew up here, grew up in Madison, left in 2003, came back in 2020, and it was a very, not that I was paying attention that closely to Wisconsin politics as a child slash preteen, but very different place. And it seems like what I've gathered from my time in the newsroom at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, my time running As Goes Wisconsin, that something shifted, and one of those things is how partisan, and not even trying to hide it anymore, these Wisconsin Supreme Court races have become. And so I thought you'd be a good person to ask, like, was it always like this, or did something shift?
No, it wasn't always like this. And you're right, Chris, to uphold the ideal of independent nonpartisan judiciary, where judges and Supreme Court justices don't let their personal biases or their political preferences enter into how they decide cases. That's the ideal. We should try to get back to that ideal. But that ideal has kind of gone down the tubes, and it started really in the mid 2000s. The race that I pinpoint is 2007, where a lawyer in Madison named Linda Clifford was challenging Annette Ziegler. I happen to know Linda Clifford. She was a neighbor of mine.
Oh, wow.
And I saw her at the grocery store one day in the midst of her campaign, and I asked, "How's it going?" And she said, "I'm just getting killed by all this outside money." And so I just looked up what happened in 2007. And as a baseline, I went to 2003, which was the previous Wisconsin Supreme Court race between Justice Rogensack and Ed Brunner. There was only $24,500 spent in outside money in 2003. By 2007, it was more than 100 times that. It was $3 million.
Wow.
That's dramatic. Yeah. And what happened was Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the leading business lobby in the state and the biggest contributor to Republican candidates in this state for decades, decided that they could essentially buy seats on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So they poured in $2.2 million to get Annette Ziegler to stay on the court. And Democratic groups were kind of caught flat-footed. I mean, they ended up coughing up about $400,000, but they got way outspent by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Wisconsin Club for Growth. And that really set the table for the next really grotesque exercise in Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce money when they paid a person named Michael Gableman, who may be familiar to a lot of your listeners, in 2008 to run against Lewis Butler, the first African-American jurist on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And they just slimed him with some of the most racist ads we ever saw in Wisconsin. And that's when things really got cemented in place, that now you have candidates who are backed by Democrats and candidates who are backed by Republicans in the big business lobby.
And that is the, because I only learned about that specifically, because I knew less about the Ziegler case, and I had heard, you know, because obviously Michael Gableman has been in the news a lot in the last 2 years. And for someone who, for a lot of people, because our political memory, I think, can be short because things happen fast and there's always a new thing to be talking about. But it sounds like his campaign, also backed by WMC, and I'm assuming it was even more money than even the one prior with the Ziegler race. But like you said, it's not only that they were subjectively racist, they also were outright lies in his ads, right? And wasn't there, even once he was elected narrowly, like he was potentially going to face disciplinary action, but the people who would have had to enforce disciplinary action was the Supreme Court.
Right. There was a complaint filed that he had run an unethical campaign and should be disciplined by the and who disciplines a justice? But the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the members of that court and his right wing colleagues didn't want to discipline him for it. So he got off scot-free there. Similarly, you know, they haven't wanted to recuse themselves, some justices who have conflicts of interest, and the League of Women Voters and other groups like the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and Common Cause have urged the Wisconsin Supreme Court to get tighter recusal rules when they have conflicts of interest. But neither Gableman nor David Prosser would recuse themselves, for instance, in the John Doe 2 case in 2015 against Scott Walker, and they had benefited to the tune of more than $1 million spent on their behalf by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which was being investigated in the John Doe 2 case. So they had an obvious conflict of interest. But you know who wrote their conflict of interest policy at the Wisconsin Supreme Court? Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Wisconsin Realtors Association, two of the biggest donors to the conservative and reactionary justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It's a really sad story because under Chief Justice Shirley Abramson, for a long time, Wisconsin's Supreme Court had a great reputation as one of the best state Supreme Courts in the country. And our reputation has just gone down the tubes over the last 10 years.
We're talking to Matt Rothschild, who is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and also author of 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin, which I own. I think that was a Christmas gift that my mom gave me last year. And
bless her heart.
And I... Because I feel like a lot of vitriol gets pointed to the Tavern League when it comes to lobbying firms in Wisconsin. But it sounds like when you actually pull back the curtain, not that they don't have a lot of influence, but it really comes back to WMC as far as how much influence. But it feels like not a lot of people know that unless you are a political junkie, specifically a political junkie of Wisconsin politics.
Yeah, well, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is the biggest player in politics here in Wisconsin. They've spent more than $28 million since 2010 to elect Republicans to the state legislature and to the governorship, far and away the biggest spender. They're also the biggest lobbyist in the state capitol. I mean, the Tavern League is important, too, especially on bills relating to alcohol and maybe on legalizing pot. I mean, maybe they're opposing that. I don't know. But they're a big player in the anything about, you know, alcohol, obviously. But and they were very upset about the COVID regulations because it was hurting their businesses. I get that. But as powerful as the Tavern League is, they're nothing as compared to Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce actually wasn't totally ideological in the way it is now. When I got to Wisconsin in 1983, I mean, I've been here four decades now, and just over the last 20 years, they've just been increasingly an arm of the Republican Party.
So, Matt, what is the WMC's goal?
That was my question.
No regulations, we can pollute everything, more tax cuts for businesses. And I find Wisconsin's Club for Growth such an oxymoron because they want to send us back 100 years. We're not moving forward.
I haven't heard of that group.
Yeah, they were a big group. Again, they were one of the groups that was being investigated in 2015 by the John Doe 2 prosecutor, because what Walker was doing, he was going around the state and around the country getting super rich right wingers to write 6- and 7-figure checks to either Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce or Wisconsin Club for Growth. And then Walker would tell Wisconsin Club for Growth how to spend that money. So they've been a player intermittently here in Wisconsin and were a big player during the Walker years. What does Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce want? What a lot of big businesses want, which is, if we look at what are the obstacles in the way of businesses maximizing profits to the detriment of society and the environment and workers and consumers, there are only two things that stand in the way. One is government regulations, reasonable regulations on what corporations can do, and the other is unions. And what happened during the Walker administration was they went after both. They destroyed public sector unions and with so-called right to work went after private sector unions. So unionization has dropped by 50% here in Wisconsin. And then, you know, when there's Republicans in charge, as there were during the Walker administration, they just took a sledgehammer to any regulations on the environment and on other issues, just to help corporations. You know, that's Walker's first thing he said when he got elected. He changed the sign to open for business. And so that's, so Wisconsin Manufacturers Commerce has been very clever. You know, not only are they electing people to the legislature and to the governor's office, they've been electing people to the Supreme Court here in Wisconsin, so that the Supreme Court will rubber stamp any anti-regulation and anti-labor move that the legislature passes.
So it feels like similar to any race where we see more and more money, like you can have your morals and feel like this is wrong. And we wish that there, you know, Citizens United wasn't a thing and that this much money wasn't influencing our campaign. But as Democrats feel like they need to play the game, they're ultimately, because I mean, like I said, I saw a whole thread on how already involved, even before the primary, Wisconsin Democrat Party is in this race that is supposed to be nonpartisan. And so is there a way to roll it back and be, have these races, so long as we're electing them, be actually objective and nonpartisan? Or is it basically too far down the rabbit hole?
Well, right now we're in the midst of a huge arms race as far as money in politics here in Wisconsin. And that's because of Citizens United, the terrible Supreme Court case in 2010 that said rich people can spend as much as they want and corporations can spend as much as they want to tell us who to vote for and who not to vote for. We've got to overturn that. You're right. And the best way to do that is pass a constitutional amendment that says corporations aren't persons, you know, and actually money isn't actually speech, which seems pretty reasonable. The funny thing is, in Wisconsin, as recently as 2009, we had a bill passed in the legislature signed by Governor Doyle called the Impartial Justice Act, which we worked hard on, as did Common Cause and the League of Women Voters. And that gave us public financing for campaigns. It didn't do anything about the outside groups, but at least the campaigns had a limit on what they were going to spend and decided to take public financing. But as soon as Walker got in, they threw that one out too. So until we get a legislature and a governor that are committed to campaign finance reform, there's nothing we're going to be able to do now here in Wisconsin. And also because of the horrible U.S. Supreme Court decisions, there's a limit as to what we could even do if we had the legislature that we dreamed of and the governor that we dreamed of.
Throws water bottle across the studio. All right. Matt Rothschild is going to stick with us through the break. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Maybe we'll hear more about what the work is that you do over there and how important it is when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring, courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it?
Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM. Waukesha's only news talk station.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are talking to Matt Rothschild, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And we were talking about kind of the history of how things started to shift and the nonpartisan Wisconsin Supreme Court races became so unapologetically partisan and how much money has influenced them now. And I'm assuming that if you look at the bar graph, similar to all of our campaigns, whether it's governor, senators, each year is just more and more and more money. And it's a record-breaking year each time.
Pretty much. I mean, we just posted a bar graph on our website about the record spending just last month, or the lead up to last month in the campaigns. And in the spending by outside groups this year was five times what the spending was back in 2010. I mean, it's just unbelievable. $93 million spent by outside groups here in Wisconsin for the governor's race and the attorney general's race and state legislature. I'm not even talking about the U.S. Senate race either. This doesn't even count that, which was over $100 million too. And we saw how ugly and racist the ads were for Ron Johnson, both by Ron Johnson himself and by this wrongly named Wisconsin Truth Pact that Diane Hendricks and Richard Eline founded and funded. They spent about $20 million, $28 million, I think, to slime Mandela Barnes in some of the most racist and ugly ways that I've ever seen. So, yeah, I mean, everyone listening knows that your screens were just splattered with mud by these outside groups over the last several months. And it was pretty evenly split, actually, between groups supporting Republicans and groups supporting Democrats, with the Republican groups having about a $4 million advantage. But, you know, in a democracy, it shouldn't be a tug of war between a handful of billionaires on the right and a handful of billionaires on the left. In a real democracy, we'd all have an equal say. We'd all have an equal tug on that rope, and we just don't. And I think everyone listening understands that.
Well, it's not only that, because it's also the amount, when we say outside money, it's people who are trying to influence, who do not live in Wisconsin, and trying to influence races that those of us who do live here have to live with the consequences of those elections. And it's speaks to a bigger thing as far as power and control of who, and why are they so invested in the first place in statewide elections of a state that they don't live in?
Yeah, it's crazy that there's no limit on that. And our politics have just become so nationalized over the last, you know, 10 years, mm-hmm. that big liberals and big conservatives, whenever there's a swing state or an important race in a swing state, they decide to get out their checkbook. But, you know, before 2015, no one in Wisconsin could give more than $10,000 to political parties. But then the Republicans and Walker rewrote that law in 2015 to totally tear down that ceiling. So now there's no limit on what a rich individual in Wisconsin or outside of Wisconsin can donate to the Republican Party of Wisconsin or the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And then, like Michaels' brothers, who gave $1.5 million each to the Republican Party of Wisconsin, the Republican Party of Wisconsin then turned around and gave $3 million change to Michael's. So it was just, you know, they were using the parties as a laundromat.
Well, I guess that's a good segue to, for anyone who is not familiar with Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, what is the work that you do, that the group does, and if people want to either get involved or learn more about what they can even do if they care about how this much money is eroding the average person's power when it comes to voting, here's your chance to recruit some people.
Well, you know, I just talk and write. I got the easy job. Our staff, we got a great staff of researchers, and they track the money in politics, both the direct contributions to campaigns and then the so-called independent expenditures done by these groups that tell you explicitly who to vote for. And then we also track or try to track down and put at least an estimate on the money spent by the dark money groups. So that's one of the main things we do. We have a website that's unique. And user-friendly, where you can just look up, you know, a big contributor you know, or if you think your neighbor who's got a sign out in his or her yard, you want to know how much money they're giving to whichever candidate, you can put their name in the on our website, and boom, you get all that information. So it's really helpful for concerned citizens and for the media. And then we just advocate on a broad range of pro-democracy reforms, of course, campaign finance reform being one, banning gerrymandering, defending voting rights across the board.
So then going back to your book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin, because I think you and I did talk about this about a year ago, because it came out last year, right?
Yeah, last year at about this time.
And so In the year since you published it, is there a different priority? Is there anything else you'd add to the list? Or what do you think is the number one? If we could only pick one of the 12, what would you pick?
Well, that's really hard. But the interesting thing is, and I'm not going to answer it, but the thing I couldn't discuss in my book that I've talked a lot and written about over the last year is this anti-democracy movement in the country and in the state. You know, the total denialists about what happened in November 2020, you know, the people who still, you know, they're like Japanese soldiers 10 years after the war won't recognize that Joe Biden actually won the election fair and square. And the white nationalism that's part of this anti-democracy movement, the Trump cult, the irrationalism behind it, the propaganda from right-wing media, that's really something that I wasn't able to focus on because I was just reading page proofs when January 6th happened. But it's a real threat, I think, still, even as Trump is floundering. The white nationalist movement isn't going away. The reactionary movement, what I call the anti-democracy movement, isn't going away. So that's something I wanted to get into the book, but couldn't.
Yeah.
Matt, I'm curious, because you are surrounded by all of this, unfortunately, really bad news about our democracy. Do you chant or do you meditate or something, or do you just go scream into the void when you can't take it anymore?
Well, I have a wonderful wife of 37 years who is a great person to be with. I have hobbies. I birdwatch all the time. I go out in the yard and chop wood. And so, you know, I take care of myself. I'm not, and I don't believe in being a workaholic either. So I try to take my weekends off. I'm trying to take parts of Fridays off. I'm going to go watch a soccer game as soon as I get off here.
Nice.
So, yeah, I try to take care of myself.
That is important. Self-care. Hashtag self-care. All right, Matt Rothschild, thank you so much for joining us today. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You can actually catch him at Turner Hall for a panel on voting rights and human rights this Saturday at 10:30 to noon.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We'll definitely have you back. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure. You too, Chris.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, the guys from Wisconsin Drunken History will be here. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges, but many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.